It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Now it's time for another Guy Benson Show, Benson Bite, where we bring you the day's most interesting interviews in a bite-sized package. For the full episode, visit GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Back with us here on the show is Clay Travis, founder of Outkick.com and a Fox News contributor. Clay, welcome back to the show.
Hey, appreciate you having me, man.
Of course. So I saw an observation that you made, and a number of other people did as well on social media, as we watch some of the madness and the vitriol and the ugliness play out at a number of college campuses around the country. You said, you know, it kind of seems like some campuses seemingly are immune from this kind of thing. And I saw there was actually a report where they listed all of the schools, all the colleges and universities around America that are currently under investigation for systemic anti-Semitism or incidents along those lines. And Iowa Hawk, who is terrific on Twitter, broke it down by athletic conference. And more than half of the Ivy League is under investigation. A number of schools in my conference, the Big Ten, under investigation, including my alma mater, Northwestern. The SEC, which is expanding next year, if you include all 16 teams, 0-16, not a problem in the southeast part of the country. And, Clay, it feels like that isn't just a random coincidence, right?
No, thanks for having me on. I think it's actually representative of a really important story that is not being told right now. And that is, for all of the talk about Charlottesville and the awfulness that happened there, I believe it was in 2018-ish, if I remember the year correctly, that is actually not representative, by and large, of where anti-Israel sentiment now dwells. That is, and I condemn it, as I think anybody with a functional brain should, if you are engaged in acts of racism or you are anti-ethnic in any way, I think you should be condemned. Biden himself said Charlottesville was such a stain on America that he felt compelled that he needed to run for president of the United States. And it was easy for him to attribute that to right-wingers and Trump and the anti-Semitism that he felt was embedded so deeply in the American right. I actually think what we're seeing now is the truth, which is it's actually the left and their identity politics coalition that is more likely to be anti-Israel and anti-Jewish. And I think my theory on this is because, unlike, let's say, in the Middle East, where clearly a huge part of the reason why Israel doesn't get along with its neighbors necessarily at a high level is the religious difference, right? The difference between the Jewish faith and the Muslim faith. And certainly you can throw in Christian elements as well. That's not what's going on in the United States. And I think it's a really important distinction. What happens in the United States now is the left has built an identity politics worldview, a sort of pyramid of victimization is the way that I have described it, and it relies upon white people always being colonizers and always being oppressors, such that Jewish people are seen as white even when they are being attacked and 1,200 Jews are being murdered in cold blood.
Even when they're not white. Even when they're not white, too.
Right. They are seen as the white people, and it isn't really a religious race-based decision, which is how you see all these ridiculous people walking around with, like, you know, gays for Gaza, which is such a cognitively dissonant argument that only in Western civilization could an absurdity of that level and magnitude be occurring. So I think this is such a seismic issue. And I don't know what you think about this, but I was having this conversation with my wife last night. I talked about it with Buck on our radio show today. My cautious hope here is that the identity politics worldview, which I think is the root toxicity of American culture today, could blow up over this because you've got two different groups that are traditionally Democrat voting, Jewish people and people of Arab descent, and they're not able to reconcile this because Trump isn't to blame in some way to unite them. And my hope is that white, black, Asian, and Hispanic, gay, straight, whatever your identity happens to be, that your individual intelligence will come to overwhelm the identity politics coalition that has all too often been used to divide us over what I would say is the last 10 or 15 years.
Well, I hope you're right, at least on that last point. I'll make 2 points in response. Number one, with President Biden, and you were going down this path, and this returns to my main thrust of my opening monologue in the first hour today. Biden, you're right. He said Charlottesville was the impetus for him to run for president. And he had to run for president because we can't accept that in our country, that type of horrible incident in Charlottesville. And he put the onus on Donald Trump for equivocating in his condemnation and, you know, the fine people on both sides. Whether you think that's a fair characterization of how Trump treated it at the time, that was very much the way that it was reported and the way that Biden presented it in announcing his run for president, which was ultimately successful. Here you have this just bile, this nasty hatred, all the vile tactics and even violence of the anti-Semitic identity politics stricken left. And Biden is doing his own kind of both sides thing here, which is such a moral failure by his own admission, by his own standards. In fact, the most important standard, according to him, which is why he ran for president in the first place, he failed his own test. He's been failing it now for months. He really failed it yesterday in the comments that he made. And since you also talked about Gays for Gaza, I'll just add a second point. I saw one of these nutty left-wing socialist social media accounts that have huge followings, and these insane tweets do very well and get shared all over the place, saying, oh, well, they think it's a good point to say, do you know how gays are treated in the Middle East? It's like they don't want to grapple with how gays are treated in Texas and Florida. Like there's some kind of remote equivalency between those two examples, like where people are thrown off of buildings, hanged, executed, imprisoned in the Middle East versus a made-up don't say gay controversy in Florida. That's how they handle. That's how they respond to the critique that you were just making. And it's, to your overall point, I think it's so offensive. It's such obvious BS that even they don't believe. My hope is some people say, okay, if that's the argument that they're making, I can't subscribe to that. That is on its face preposterous.
Yeah. And that's why I try to be optimistic about this, because it's, I think, a dark time. To have this many, in theory, highly educated college campus kids who are willing to be unable to see the difference between good and evil. And we've been making the analogy, and I bet you've had some discussion along this lines as well. If there were a group in Mexico that crossed into the United States and killed 1,200 Americans and kidnapped 100 of them, and by the way, it's as if the hostages don't even exist. I mean, we're still talking about, over 100, I think, hostages, still unclear about what's happened to them. 5 Americans, I believe, American citizens. It's as if those people don't exist. If that had happened in the United States, we would have rained down holy hell on the group that did it. And anyone with a functional brain in the United States would have supported it. So the idea that Israel, which is 100% innocent in the attack that was perpetrated against them on October 7th, doesn't have the right to defend itself or should be held culpable for people who are dying in their attempt to eradicate Hamas's ability to ever do this again, is such a historic failure to comprehend the difference between good and evil that yep. I have to take the next step and hope that there is something positive that comes out of it, which to me would be, like you just said, people having to confront this. Maybe they're Jewish. Maybe they are young and they've just been historically voting Democrat. Maybe they're older and they haven't really looked at what the Democrat Party can represent today. I hope that it requires some measure of contemplation about how we got here, because I've Yep. seen it coming for a long time, and I hope that there is some positive that can come from it.
I tweeted this earlier, Clay, because for the hardcore people who are lost, it is beyond reasoning with them, right? It is, they are irrational, deeply ignorant, and unfortunately, in some cases, actually evil. They are bad people rooting for evil. And I tweeted, it's nearly impossible to reason with people who celebrate an actual genocidal terrorist massacre and shout the terrorists' own genocidal slogans, then rationalize their subsequent insanity, bullying, and bigotry as fighting a quote-unquote genocide that doesn't actually exist. They've invented a genocide, attributing it to the victims of October 7th, and then they use the fake genocide to rationalize all manner of evil and ugliness, and it's playing out prominently in major cities and college campuses. But coming back to my initial question, not a lot of campuses. And I saw an amazing juxtaposition on social media yesterday. It was a screenshot of the violence and chaos at Columbia. And on the other side was, I believe, the basketball arena at the University of Florida set up for a huge Seder, Passover Seder dinner, which was attended by hundreds, if not thousands. It went off beautifully, without a hitch. It was peaceful. It has been made clear, and Florida is my example here, but this could apply to a lot of other places. It has been made clear from the very top in the state of Florida, the governor, Ron DeSantis, said, this will not fly in Florida. It's not going to happen. Ben Sasse runs that school. He said the exact same thing. They enforced penalties and consequences early on. And Florida, University of Florida, doesn't have this problem. You can go down the list of some of the other schools that I mentioned. Vanderbilt had a problem. They suspended people. They expelled some people.
That's
if
right.
you actually show leadership and handle it, there's a way to put an end to this, or at least significantly mitigate it. I think that is not just a juxtaposition in leadership. It is such an indictment of the places where this is out of control, because the antidote is right there in front of us.
Yeah, I give credit to, you know, I went to law school at Vanderbilt, and there are a lot of decisions that I haven't always agreed with, like anybody can at a university. But the new chancellor at Vanderbilt penned a Wall Street Journal editorial page explanation of his decision. And he said, look, you have the right to freely speak your mind at Vanderbilt University. The First Amendment's alive and well. You don't have the right to trespass on university property. You don't have the right to, and I believe there were three people charged with criminal offenses for assaulting individuals. They were immediately kicked out of school for being charged with crimes. All of the students who violated the trespass rules were suspended immediately. I think that's exactly the way that everybody should be able to respond to this issue. And I would point out that their rights to free speech aren't being taken away. A lot of people don't understand the First Amendment or how it applies. But as long as you apply content-neutral policies, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, pro-Israel, or anti-Israel in terms of what you want to espouse, I think you should have the right to do that. But you don't have the right to take over university campuses and university property. And the fact that we can't get a solution in Columbia or NYU, and that Harvard and Pennsylvania and MIT have had such a difficulty grappling with this issue, which, as we talked about, morally does not appear to be a very difficult problem, is, I think, evidence of the toxicity that has taken over the identity politics coalition of the Democrat Party. And the
institutional capture, institutional capture, intellectual and moral rot in these places, and watching the people who are doing it properly and those who aren't. I mean, it is a real case study. Finally, Clay Travis, quickly, the owner of the New England Patriots is a Columbia alum, Bob Kraft. He was on Hannity last night. He talked about pulling his funding for the school because of what he's been witnessing, much to his chagrin. Here's what he said to Sean in Cut 7.
I never thought I'd see what's going on in America, what's happening right now, and it really pains me to see it. You know, we have our holiday going on now. It goes back to memory of thousands of years ago where negative things were happening, and the same is happening now in this great country that offered so many opportunities to our families who came here as immigrants. And we have to keep it open. We can't have this intimidation that's filtering through all these colleges, and the hate continue to grow and multiply the way it is.
He said he doesn't trust Columbia to keep Jews safe right now, so he's yanking his funding quickly, Clay. Is that what we need to see more of at some of these places?
I think so. I think Robert Kraft has not been great on every issue, but he's right on this one. Now, I think he was so supportive of BLM. I think that BLM has helped to create some of the world that exists on college campuses now, which is not a positive reaction. But I think he's seeing that the crazy people have been unleashed and that there has to be consequences for their crazy political ideas and, frankly, yeah, their occupation of campus.
And he has leverage to do it, and he's using it. Clay Travis, Outkick.com founder, Fox News contributor. Clay, appreciate it. Enjoyed it. Let's talk soon.
For sure. Sorry about Northwestern, by the way. They've really lost their way, and I know you're an alum. That has to be very difficult.
Oh, don't get me started. I'm on a break, but I'll blow right through it if you bring up Northwestern. That's another conversation that we will have. Clay Travis on the Guy Benson Show, stepping aside and coming right back.
That was yet another Benson Bite. For full episodes of the Guy Benson Show, go to GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.